Yes. We really welcome all of you. As already mentioned, from all neighboring countries, we of course, as one says, we are a united Europe. I believe 28 nations are belonging already to it. And we see Bible prophecy really in every way before our eyes in its fulfillment. I just see now, Brother Schmidt gives me now a piece of paper. Greetings from Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Russia, Moldavia. We really have greetings from all over the world. Greetings. Beginning there where the day starts, from Port Moresby, the Fiji Islands, beyond Australia and before New Zealand. Then from New Zealand, Australia, from all of Canada, British Columbia, Edmonton, and from the USA. Then we have greetings from all of Africa, from Nairobi, up, yes, Senegal, greetings from West Africa, from Central Africa, greetings. From East, yes, from all over, from South America, we also received warm greetings. We are truly joined with everyone who in this time are joined with the Lord. And to our surprise, we have also today a visit from Hungary. And this makes me very, very happy. Many times we were traveling through Hungary to Romania. And we just would like that our brother from Hungary stands up now. Where is he? Where is the brother from Hungary? Yes, this is our brother from Hungary. May God bless you in a special way. And may the Lord open doors in that country. This is our prayer. Thank you, beloved brother. Then I have the request that all those who are here today for the first time, that they just stand up, please. I know we have one brother. Where is it? God bless you. God bless. God bless. From where are you? From Atlanta, Georgia. Amen.
From England, God bless you in our midst. You're from where? Oh, yeah. Yeah, God bless you in a special way. Dio te benedica. Dios te bendiga muchamente. Our brother speaks Spanish. God bless you.
God bless you, precious sisters. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. May God bless all over. Yes, you in a particular. I think the brothers from Romania who are now working in Spain and in France, God bless you. God bless you, precious sister. This is the wife of our brother George from Kinshasa. God bless you in our midst.
God bless you. You're from Atlanta, Georgia, of course. Welcome, welcome. God bless you. Sure. God bless you.
Yes, just wonderful. They come from the east and west. They come from the south and north. And all those who cannot come, to them comes the word. To them comes the word. Just also in this regard, something very wonderful that God has led it in such a way that all languages can be included. I may not forget here to give you greetings from Brother Wallström, from Brother Graf, from Brother Pino, yes, from all of Europe. The brethren are sending greetings. Then in particular, all those who are here from Finland, from Sweden, God bless you, from Poland, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, Bratislava, just from all over. We are very grateful to God. Here from Paris, from Belgium, yes, France, Switzerland, Austria. Yes, we're here gathered internationally. And we thank God, the Lord, for all His guidings. And in particular, I was asked many times to refer to the 2nd of April, 1962. And this, I want to do it very briefly. It was now on the 2nd of April, 47 years ago, when I heard for the first time the voice, the audible voice, the tremendous, all-penetrating voice of the Lord. With these ears, I've heard it. It was the first time when I was taken out of the body, and from the other side I was seeing my body, how I was spreading my hands, and I said, Lord, they will not listen to me. When I remember the 2nd of April, then gratefulness fills my heart. And at the same time, I'm reminded on Acts chapter 22. And here it's two verses, which accompany in particular, which have spoken to me in a special way. The book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 6. And there it happened, and it came to pass. Three words in the German language. It's enough here. Three words. What is then reported afterward. There it happened. And as Paul was on the way to Damascus, as he could report it precisely where it happened and what actually happened, so I can lead you all to Luisen Street 160, the second floor. I can make a photo there. And I can tell you, there it happened. And it happened on the 2nd of April, 1962, a Monday morning. March was very rainy, very much rain within March. And the Monday morning had no clouds in the sky. I was looking out of the window, and I was happy, rejoicing, that the rainy season was over and that the spring was entering the country. And after my short prayer, I looked then, of course, once again in direction window, and from above, from top right, came the voice of the resurrected Lord. My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. You all know, maybe I do it tomorrow morning. I wished I made a visit to Brother Branham in the December of the same year, and it was reported in the Voice of Healing, in the German edition, in the June edition, 1963, it was reported, where my photograph was there on the first page, my visit with Brother Branham, what he has said there. So, I didn't have to invent anything, what happened or so, at the lifetime of Brother Branham. And then, in connection with my commission, as it's reported here of Paul, he said, there it happened. And then verse 14, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. That's what's all about. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. A commission includes this, that the will of God is made known, that the word of God is being revealed, and that the whole council by his grace is being proclaimed. Today, we will have the Lord's Supper. But before that, we will make some remarks. Here I have the email. And firstly, I would like to refer to the text from Revelation 5, verse 9, just briefly. Psalm 98, verse 1 to 3, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. And in the book of Revelation, this new song is then being sung. The one is the announcement, and the other one is the fulfillment. As in all of the Old Testament, the New Testament, the New Covenant was announced, so it came to fulfillment. In the same way, it's written in Isaiah 42, verse 9 and 10, sing unto the Lord a new song. And then the bridge to Revelation, that the new song is being sung. Brothers and sisters, God means well with us. He couldn't do more than what he did. Now, we will now, and I really ask you for forgiveness. Actually, I wanted to do it tomorrow morning, just briefly, to refer to what is happening now in Jerusalem. We are, of course, joined with Israel as the covenant people of God. We are joined with them. And it really made me happy to hear that Netanyahu, directly at the beginning of his speech, he was reading Psalm 131, verse 1. He was reading from the Hebrew Bible. He was reading. I read it from the German Bible now. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. May God bless Israel. May God bless Jerusalem. May God bless the government. And I tell you also why we have to emphasize this. The two-state solution is grounded on the Oslo Agreement. And if it would happen this way, then Zechariah 14 could not be fulfilled, that half of the city will be once again conquered. Let us read these scriptures briefly, so that you know, so that you can see from that point in what kind of time span we really arrived, that we not only outwardly speak of the signs of the time, but that we truly, also in this regard, that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. And it's necessary here that we read Revelation chapter 9 to know what will really happen when the reckoning will come, and when all the people will be gathered against Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 9 from verse 13. Revelation 9 verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The river Euphrates flows through the Iraq, right beyond Baghdad. And therefore, Iraq was included into the end-time events. It was not the decision of a president. No, it just belongs to the course of history in the end-time. What we also have to know is, in Zechariah 14, we read in verse 2 and 4, we read of the taking of the city, namely that only half of the city shall be taken. Zechariah 14, namely verse 2 and 3, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and so forth. And in verse 3 it says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. If they would now divide the city now, then there would be no possibility then to take it. If it will not be divided now, then the old city will again fall into the hand of the enemies of Israel. We don't want to go into details here, but I just want to say something here. Whoever reads Joel chapter 4, verse 2, some Bibles have only three chapters in the prophet Joel. Whoever reads Joel chapter 3, there it says of the dividing of the land. And whoever reads Zechariah 14, verse 2, he reads of the city, not of the land. The one is the land, and the other one is the city. So, it's just so good if one reads the Holy Scripture precisely, also in view of the end-time events. And just be honest now, Israel Israel comes now into the center of the end-time prophecy. This is just like that in the divine plan of salvation. It's ordained this way. And that's how it is happening in our time. I wrote down the three scriptures from Matthew 24, verse 33. Mark 13, verse 29, Luke 21, verse 31. I really memorized them. And there the Lord says three times, when you see these things coming to pass, has not our Lord said at that time, when you see Jerusalem compassed around by, then notice, then take note what the prophet Daniel has said. The word of prophecy was given to us for the reason that we take heed to the fulfillment, to know how far things are spent. And also regarding to the plan of salvation, our Lord said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, in verse 4, I foretold you all things. I foretold you all things. Nothing he left out. In this book is written everything concerning the church, concerning Israel, in regards of the end time. Everything is written in this book. And we have the word of prophecy. We received it by revelation. And we thank the Lord God that he has taken care of that we receive this divine information, and connected with it, we receive the insight into the plan of salvation by his grace. So far now to this subject. Many things could be said still, but this shall be enough now, because we have a second subject now, which necessarily, because of the brothers who are preaching the word, has to be touched. Now, just briefly, it has to be touched. It is about Isaiah chapter 42, which recently is being misunderstood. This text is just taken out of context. And I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 42 from verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And then comes the description of what all belongs to it. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. This text is 100% and only referred to our Lord and Redeemer. And it found its fulfillment in him. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Here we read from verse 17. Matthew 12. Verse 17. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." On which word are we now reminded? Two scriptures. Matthew 3, verse 17. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we think on Matthew 17, verse 5 and 6, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This word refers to no prophet, to no man of God, only and only on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Here it's said again in verse 19 and 20 and 21, "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Now the repetition, the reciting of Isaiah 42, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth justice unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Not in the name of a preacher, but in his name, in the name of the Lord, which he has revealed unto us by his grace. Now are coming the two important scriptures which were exchanged, which were dislocated. And I want to say it now in love, but I want to say it very clearly before the whole world, so that all might know exactly what is really written. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, not Isaiah 42 is repeated, but Isaiah 49. And this, all the brothers who are preaching the word, from today on, they have to know it, and they have to submit to it. The book of Acts, chapter 13, from verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And now comes the reciting of Isaiah 49, verse 6, and not 42. I read it, "For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Let us read the same word from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 49. Isaiah 49, we read verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. This is the divine answer as we have it in the New Testament. On one side, Isaiah 42 in Matthew, and the other one in, thanks be to God for his wonderful word. And I tell you what happened. When this subject in the last weeks and months was presented to me, and it really happened in my office, suddenly, out of the blue sky, don't only read Isaiah 42, read also Isaiah 49. And behold, the answer was there. I stood up, and I was rejoicing. And I was thanking God with all my heart. To all the brothers who are preaching the word in the end time message, I would like to give you the following points to your heart. I would lay it to your heart, which Brother Branham laid to the heart of all the preachers. Point one, the word may not be placed somewhere else. Point two, the word may not be taken out of context. Point three, the word may not be interpreted privately. Point four, it must happen at its right time. It must be according to the Word of God. It has to be the person which God Himself has chosen for it. Then he comes to the prophetic ministry and he says, first, it is revealed to his prophets. If in our time brothers are coming on the scene with special revelations, firstly, point one, back to the word, back to the message, to find the harmony and not to bring something of your own. And then it goes on, the prophet has to be confirmed by the word. And afterward comes 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 22. Touch not mine anointed one. And also Psalm 105, verse 15. Touch not mine anointed one, and do my prophets no harm. Also, this subject is closed now. And all the brothers who somewhere in any country, in some city who have troubles, may they please let the word of God count. Only the word of God remains forever. Everything else will anyway vanish away, pass away. Now, in view to the plan of redemption, beloved brothers and sisters, really, recently something touches me, a fact touches me, namely, that the Lord Himself laid off His glory, that He Himself came to us. If you read all these scriptures, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when we read, unto you today Christ is born, who is the Lord in the city of David. And when we read, before Abraham was, I am. When we read all these scriptures from the Old and the New Testament, Testament, if we summarize them, and if we bring them into harmony, then it was the same one who died for us on the cross of Calvary, who walked in the Garden of Eden, and who created Adam in his image, who came to Adam, sitting down with him, with Abraham, sitting under the tree, having the meal with him. And what really, what again touches me so tremendous on my inside, is the fact that the Lord, who made man in his image, that he didn't leave him, but after the fall, and here, there are really some scriptures. You can read them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18. Thorns and thistles shall the field bring forth. Exodus 3, 2 verse 3. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in the bush. John 19. The Roman soldiers were making a crown of thorns and laid it upon the head of our Lord and were mocking him. You are the King of the Jews. You all know the New Testament and all the connections. Just think of it. Just think of one moment. What kind of love has the Lord did the Lord have for us? He could have said, you chose the transgression. You made your decision. I offered you death, announced you death, and the death has come upon you. And now, look for yourself how you go with it. No, he did something else. Before the tree of life, he placed the cherubims, and before the entrance, he placed them, so that the fallen man may not eat of the tree of life in his fallen condition, that he may not live eternally in this fallen condition, but he has driven them out of paradise. And then we remember Golgotha. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Our Lord has laid off his God, his divinity. He laid it off. He became a man to be submitted under the law. On the eighth day, he was circumcised. With 12 years, he was in the temple. With 30 years, he started his ministry. You young people, you children, you adults, you grown-ups, our Lord came into this world from the birth on, from the day on. He lived his life here on this earth. He understands every child, every young youth, every adult, he understands. And therefore, he could not only become redeemer, but also a mediator who has feelings with our infirmities. He had to become like us, as we are in this body of flesh, so that he can really redeem us in all the details. He can understand it, so that he could understand it in all the details. Now just imagine, he just would have come down from glory with glory and with Gloria and Hallelujah. How would then the fall be made good? The sin happened in the body of flesh and blood, and the life of the body is in the blood. Therefore, the Lord of glory had to put on a body of flesh and had to shed his precious and holy blood here on this earth to redeem us, because that's how it is written, of course. John 3, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. And then this divine fact, out of the same word, out of the same spirit, we are born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just a wonderful plan of salvation. But it really overwhelmed me anew that the Lord Himself came to us. It reminds me now. Probably I said it here before. Brother Branham, he time and again, he also told you a story. I'm actually not suited to tell stories, but when he was in South Africa, and when he came to a tribe, and to this captain of this tribe, he laid forth the plan of salvation very briefly, and then Brother Branham said to this captain, "I will ask the Father in heaven that he sends his son to you." And then the captain said, "I don't want this. I want that the Father comes himself." Yes. He just says, "I want that the Father comes himself." But the Father has come in the Son. This is the divine mystery. The Father has come in the Son himself, Emmanuel, God with us, and he redeemed us. So, let us thank our God again for that what he has done for us. To bring us back into our divine condition. In this new circular letter, we put a little cover on it with a text, "God remembers his covenant." And we all know the Grand Canyon in the USA is worldwide known. And the rainbow, it really spoke to me. And here, on this cover, on the inside, we put down the scriptures which speak of the covenant, which fit to it. Genesis 9, verse 12 and 13. Then God said, "This shall be the sign of the covenant." And then it comes with a rainbow. Exodus 2, verse 24. And when God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Psalm 50, verse 5 and 6. "Gather me my saints who made the covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is judge himself." Isaiah 54, verse 10. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on thee." Ezekiel 1, verse 26 to 28. "And above the firmament that was over the heads was likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of a throne was the likeness of the as the appearance of a man above it. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." Ezekiel 1, verse 28. Luke 1, verse 72. "To perform mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant." Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my covenant, the blood of the covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Mark 14, verse 24. And he said unto them, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which was shed for many. Revelation 4, verse 2. And three. And immediately there was a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament announced, especially Jeremiah 31 and in other places, I will make a new covenant with you. And then we see the making of the covenant of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary. And already at the Lord's Supper, he was pointing to his blood, that it was the blood of the new covenant. God announced the new covenant, but not only saying it in words, but in fact, in reality, the first covenant was old, and whatever is old is being put away. And then the new covenant in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then his law, his words, everything he wanted to lay into our hearts. And he wanted to give us a new heart by his grace, a new life, a new spirit. To this main subject of the finished redemption and reconciliation and message, we could read and read. It is the kernel of our preaching. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. All the wonderful scriptures, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 1, the word of the cross is the power of God to them who believe. And to them who don't believe, it is foolishness. What did it become to you? What did it become to me? To us, the word of the cross has become the power of God to us. We are redeemed. The making of the covenant of God with mankind took place. We have received forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Let us read some scriptures from Philippians. Yes, all know the Holy Scripture, of course, but believe me, I don't know how many times a day, even I just walk a bit, and time and again, the same words are coming over my lips. Lord, remember thy covenant, remember thy people, remember thy promises. Let us having part in everything, whatever you promised for our time. Here in Philippians, in chapter 2, we read from verse 7, Philippians 2, from verse 7, He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There are also brothers who hold fast to the Godhead of Jesus Christ. It's good like this, yes. But he had to become man. He had to be found in fashion as a man. He slept. He was tired. He was sad. He wept. Everything, he was found in fashion as a man, as written here. And I'm asking, don't deny it. Our Lord had to come into mankind. A body thou hast prepared for me. In the volume of the book it is written of me. And so, of course, the divine plan of salvation started. It took its start. Thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. The son was begotten. The Father himself took dwelling. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Please, don't try to explain this unexplainable, this mystery. Don't try to explain it. Just thank God for it. Thank God for it. When you read from Exodus, when you read in Exodus, or in Genesis, or then in Nehemiah, then God revealed himself on the mountain in the fire, and his voice sounded from heaven. With God, all things are possible. Is God not omnipresent? Is God not spirit? Has he not, could he not reveal himself in the flesh and remained God? And then, verse 8, Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This was not a pretended obedience. This was true obedience in his body of flesh, so that we also can become truly obedient in our body of flesh. All these things happened for our sake. Nothing happened for his sake. Everything happened for your and my and our sakes, so that we also already in this body can have eternal life, being included into this obedience. Everything is placed wonderfully. Then in Colossians, oh, these wonderful places. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then it comes. Who is the image of the invisible God? This he was already in the Garden of Eden. The image of God. The appearance of God in a bodily shape. And then one goes to 2 Corinthians, to chapter 3 and 4, and one finds everything again in the Holy Scripture confirmed. Let us read verse 19 and 20 in Colossians 1. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Today one hears of people, they say, when they believe the message, then they have received the Holy Spirit. And they don't know anything of a conversion, that doesn't know anything of new birth, nothing of redemption. I don't say this to judge here. I just say this with pain. A second generation has come forth now, also within the end time message, where the experiences with God, the conversion, the new birth, the renewing, and everything what goes with it, where it doesn't happen like this anymore. The people just come here and say, we believe. But it goes one step further. Our Lord says, he who believes on me, as the scripture says, not only he who believes, but who believes on me, as the scripture says. And there we have to return. Then verse 21, and you, now we are addressed, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is the gospel. This is divine message. This is the finished work of redemption, which was given to us by his grace. At this place, and this applies worldwide, we not only want to speak of the mysteries of God, we thank God, and we confess it time and again. Such a time period, which we are now experiencing, was never on the face of the earth before. Such a ministry, like Brother Branham had it, neither Paul had it, nor Peter, nor other prophets. But in the same way, the kernel of the proclamation must be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, and this forever. We are not preaching Branham and not Paul. We are preaching what God declared to Paul and all his servants, what he revealed to them. But the connection to a servant of God is not enough. We need the connection to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, the basic truths have to be preached and have to be experienced by grace. And tonight, we want to experience God again. Yes, I'm confident. Since it has become new, great to me, what we have meant to our Lord, namely that He himself came to us. Just think of it. Not a day, all the 30 years, then the ministry, here on this earth, amongst us, a man among men, for our sakes, and then the way to the cross. And the deed of redemption happened. Once again, the mentioning of the blood now. How many times did we say it here already? Leviticus 17, verse 11 and verse 14. The life of the body is in the blood. Therefore, no body was allowed to eat blood in all of the Old Testament. The blood was given for atonement. Atonement. The blood worked the atonement before God. And in the New Testament, in John 5, our Lord says, when you don't eat the blood of the Son of Man and eat not the blood, you have no life. Therefore, we have to receive Jesus Christ fully we have to receive him fully so that his life can be manifested in us, and then is being fulfilled. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, namely to them who believe on his name. Oh, how wonderful! One word goes into the other. Brothers and sisters, I'm grateful. Grateful to God for that, what he has done. For that, what he has given to us. And if you alone read in the book of Hebrews, if you like to read it, how many times the word covenant is written there. And if you alone read in the book of Revelation, if you like to read it, 29 times it's written in the 22 chapters the word lamb. Lamb. 29 times in the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, the lamb which was slain. And as we read from the book of Revelation, let us read it. Let us read it confidently again. Here we see it in chapter 5, how the Lamb was worthy to take the book, to open the seals, and then as the overcomer, he became the lion of the tribe of Judah. Lamb has its place as a sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And then the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome, has prevailed. He's both. He's the Lamb of God. He's the tribe of the tribe of Judah, the lion. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's Son of David, Son of Abraham. He's Mediator. He's Advocate. He's King, Priest, and Prophet. He's all in all. Nothing was left out. Here we have the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the harps could rest a bit, and then the song was sung. Let us read verse 9 once again. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Today we see here a great part fulfilled of this scripture. If I would ask now, out of how many nations we are gathered here, then most surely it wouldn't stop with 17, as on the day of Pentecost. Maybe we would be more, maybe not more. On the day of Pentecost, people were gathered from 17 different nations. And I would not be astonished if we would not be 17 nations today and races. Brothers and sisters, also we will sing this mighty song. We will sing this song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. And when we then remember how many times Brother Branham, in connection with the opening of the seals, spoke on the 17th to the 24th of March 1963, spoke of that the Lamb of God took the book and opened the seals. It happened in our time, brothers and sisters. God makes history. God carries out his plan of salvation unto its completion. And by his grace, we may be part of it in all things what he is presently doing. Just think of it. Before the seals were opened, Brother Branham sees a vision. He sees in a vision the appearing of the supernatural cloud. On the 22nd of December, he speaks about it. And on the 30th of December 1962, he goes into all the details of it. And then comes the 28th of February 1963. When this cloud appeared,
and
there are really 86 pictures were sent to the universities of Tucson. Photographs were taken when the cloud made its course. And right there, where Brother Branham was standing in Sabinian Canyon, right there, this cloud came down. And then Brother Branham was told, return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come. Brothers and sisters, where God is at work, there the supernatural happens. They are not the charismatics at work. They are not the people are presented. There God is in action. There God is at work in a supernatural way. And so, we just summarize it now. We see it on Israel. It really goes now to the end. The judgment angels are still bound at the river Euphrates, but only until the day when it will happen that one third of mankind will be killed. One third of mankind will then be killed. I didn't read it to you, but I wrote it down here. But it would go too far now. What in the Islamic world is really believed, is being believed, and what they expect, what will happen with Israel, and so forth. But this doesn't fit here now. We are, of course, having the Lord's Supper now. Today, together with our Lord, in a worthy way, we want to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And to this belongs that we humble ourselves before God, asking Him to forgive us everything. He did forgive already, and yet we can ask Him, forgive everything. What is not right before you, be merciful. Also, all the unrighteousness, all the what is not done in love, everything what cannot stand before you, be merciful to us. Wash me in Jesus' precious blood, in the fountain filled with blood. The new covenant has been established. On the cross of Calvary, our Lord cried out, it is finished. And friends, brothers and sisters, not only God was in Christ, we were in Christ. Just as He, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were foreordained as He was foreordained before the foundation. So we also. And as Eve was in Adam, so the church was in Jesus Christ our Lord. And when His side was opened on the cross of Calvary, and when the blood came forth, our redemption took place. We have become children of God by His grace. Just a full redemption as the Lord our God has given us. He not only gave a message which bypassed Calvary there and there. No, the message of the cross is put into the center. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the first and the last. He became a man. He remained God. And after the resurrection, that's how we can read it. Thomas He cried out aloud, "My Lord and my God." We are men, and we will be transformed to be like our Lord. Can you all believe this? Can you understand it? Also you young people, you youth, can you all understand this? Can you grasp it? It happened by grace for us. He has given the victory, as we have read it in the prophet Isaiah. He will bring forth justice unto victory. He will bring us victory. Jesus is the victor beyond over death, and we are happy about it. Let us read now the words for the Lord's Supper from Corinthians. It's of course always the same words which we read, and then we take it to heart that we examine ourselves in the presence of our Lord. I like to read both scriptures. The first one from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So, not a tablet with 36 glasses, but a cup. And because we have here and there our brothers and sisters, so the Lord has given us the mercy, the grace, to give us these wonderful cups from Israel with the seven fruits of the promised land. We brought them from Israel, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper here really in memory, remembering the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And I say it once again, brothers and sisters, our Lord, He has come into this world. He lived His life here on this earth until He gave it on the cross of Calvary for us. How should not we give Him now our lives, not consecrating it to Him out of thankfulness, consecrating it unto Him for that what He has done for us? Then from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read from verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body for you, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You can all read on. It's enough what we heard now. Let a man examine himself. But brothers and sisters, not being discouraged. I know, the Spirit of God leads to repentance. And then we feel sorry. Then the tears are flowing. But this sorrow and these tears are leading us over to the certainty that our Lord made all damage well. And that by Him, through His blood, we have become worthy to celebrate the Lord's Supper with Him because of the finished work of redemption, to remember it and to thank Him that it happened for us. It happened for you. It happened for me. A finished work of redemption, which is valid for all eternity, which cannot be annulled, which cannot be made void. He who has chosen before, He has justified. And whom He justified, them He sanctified. Them He glorified. Can you believe it? Amen. Just say Amen. Just say Amen to the Word of God. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word. So now, we will come in the presence of our God, examining ourselves, telling the Lord everything, telling Him everything, but with a certainty in us, which is worked by God in us, that He made all damage well. And I am convinced the Lord God will do today great things. Now we will stand up and we ask that the two sisters are coming to the front and are singing a fitting song to us. And then we will pray especially for all the young people who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord before they partake of the Lord's Supper. And now a word to all who still want to be baptized. If you really like to be baptized, then you can already partake of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a supper which reminds us on Calvary, namely to that what happened for us there. Now, the brothers will come. Precious sisters, if you could come now. Here we have the microphone. Let us be really reverently. Let us believe what happened for us. The blood of the new covenant was shed. We are forgiven. Our sin is forgiven. We are God's blood-bought possession for time and eternity. May God bless all over the earth. All over the earth. May God bless. May be with all. Now we are hearing a song and we all will listen reverently.
Dort in dem Garten Gethsemane rang unser Jesus voll Leid und Weh. Blutstropfen fielen, der Kampf war schwer. Die Jünger schliefen, allein war der Herr. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Sein Kreuz trug Jesus nach Golgatha, dich zu retten, litt er all da. stehst du heute in dunkler Nacht. Hör, Jesus ruft, es ist schon vollbracht. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Weißt du, was heute noch Wunder tut? Nur unseres Heilands kostbares Blut. Auch wenn die Hölle und Erde bebt, glaubt dieser Botschaft, dein Jesus erlebt. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Und kommt noch heute der Tod heran, kannst du es glauben, was er getan? Jesus, dein Heiland, er liebt dich noch. Komm, fasse Mut nun und glaube es doch. Jesus ist Sieger über den Tod. Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit. Jesus ist Jesus ist Sieger, bricht alle Not. Jesus ist Sieger in Ewigkeit. Für dich hat Jesus den Sieg schon bereit.
Dazu singen wir noch Halleluja, Halleluja. Bin erlöst durch
In,
das Blut.
I'm redeemed by the blood.
Neigen wir unsere Häupter.
Let us bow our heads. Let us open our hearts before the Lord God. I feel that God is calling, that He is calling. That if we have heard His voice today, that we receive it, that we respond to it, that we say yes to Him. In particular, I would like to give the call to all those who have no assurance to have become a property of the Lord, who have not experienced a conversion yet, no renewing, no new birth, who didn't experience yet, who have not yet received the certainty, as Paul writes to the Romans, his Spirit bears witness unto our and bears witness unto our spirit that we have become the children of God. Don't be ashamed. It would be a shame if you would not come to the Lord. I say it once again. He came to us. He became a servant. As son, he was man. As father, he was God. God manifested in the form of a man, the Father in the Son, to redeem us in his only begotten Son, to give us the adoption as sons. Galatians 4, from verse 4, Romans 8, and many, many other scriptures. The redemption happened. The work is finished. As we are having our heads bowed, as we remain in silent prayer, I would like that all partake of the Lord's Supper. But whoever would like to have prayer necessary, we are here to pray with you. If you believe, it can happen now. That's how it was at the sermon of Peter. He preached, and the people even experienced the Spirit baptism at the end of the same sermon. Who would like to raise his hand? God bless. All over. The hands are going up. God bless. God bless. Let us sing Just As I Am. Beloved Lord, you said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You receive everyone who have now come unto you. Beloved Lord, you are forgiving trespasses. You don't remember the sins anymore. You made the covenant with us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the blood of the new covenant, for the reconciliation, for the forgiveness, for the grace, and for the salvation. Save all who are lost. Purify, sanctify us all, so that we may have part, so we can partake in a worthy way of the Lord's Supper. Beloved Savior, bless also the breads. Bless the breads. We are bringing unto you the breads, and we ask you, bless the breads. Bless all who partake of them. Bless the body of the Lord. Bless all the brothers and all the sisters. You are saying, I was longing to celebrate the Lord's Supper with you. We are inviting you. Sup with us, O Lord. Make us all worthy through thy blood. We thank you. We thank you with all our hearts for it. May all be blessed who partake of the Lord's Supper. And I claim here that they are also partaking of the great supper there in glory. We thank you. We thank you, beloved Lord, in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
I would like the brothers to come to the front. Brother Müller from Austria.
Mein Gott, ja.
I can't remember the name. Brother Miskis, Brother Ziegler, and from Brother Henrichs one.
Ja, jetzt schiebt euch nicht einer, sondern kommt einer.
Please come one.
Wir haben schon gebetet.
We already prayed.
Und wir werden jetzt das Brot.
And now we'll break the bread. Remembering our Lord. Please, brothers, break it. Take the cloth and precious brothers and sisters, I don't want to forget to give you greetings from our beloved brother Rus. He phoned and he sends greetings to all of you. Yes. Let us sing once again the chorus, Thou art worthy. If you are grateful for the living and revealed word, then just say Amen.
Amen.
If you are grateful for the finished work of redemption, say Amen. We ask all brothers and sisters who are in the neighboring rooms, also who are in the dining room down, and also on the balcony, please come now into the main auditorium to partake of the Lord's Supper. Thank you. Now you can come. You can come. Just in a divine harmony, we want to celebrate today the Lord's Supper. And believe me, when God addresses the last message to us, and if we believe Him, and if we receive what He has ordained for us in this time, then He has a purpose for us in eternity. Therefore, be full of courage. We, of course, are not bypassing what God is doing right now and what He did already, but we are having part. We have got the connection to that, what God has done and what He's doing right now. Alone therein, we see the leadings of our God, the guiding of our God. Who brought you here from all peoples, tongues and nations? Who called you? Who? Who has led it in such a way that all peoples, tongues and nations can have part in the last proclamation which goes forth worldwide? Did I plan it? Did you plan it? Or is it a direct plan of our God? It is the plan of our God, because that's how it is still written. Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom, with all things which belong to the kingdom of God, shall be preached unto the ends of the earth, to all peoples, tongues, and nations. Long it was written in Matthew 24. In our time, it has become true. In our time, it has been fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, let us thank God. Let us thank God for that, what he has done. And all who you have raised your hands, receive it by faith, accept it by faith. More God cannot do. His work is finished. Receive the redemption by faith, and it's yours. The redemption, forgiveness, grace, and salvation is yours, is ours. We give the glory only to Jesus.